So this is Shavuot 2023. It is May 26th. I'm at my darlings, Michelle and Ingrid's, and it's Michelle's birthday today. And we're in Israel, and it is he is part of the history, the fabric, the tapestry of Israel, and his, in my opinion, and I think it's very educated. He is part of the history of this country and how it came to be. So we're going to hear Michelle's testimony. Yes, Michelle? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, so can you tell me, as you have before, a little bit of your family background and then how they got to Belgium and what happened?
My father was Russian, mm-hmm. and my mother was Austrian, Jewish, and they came together. She was a nurse, and he was a patient. And that's how they met. And eventually, I was born.
Were you born in Austria?
No, I was born in Brussels.
In Brussels.
Belgium. In 1942.
Very pivotal year. And I say that pivotal for the nations. Because of what God was beginning to do, or was in prophetically fulfilling His word.
Yes. And we lived in a large house with an enormous garden. And two Jewish families. We're living underneath the ground in a room that my father had built. They escaped the war that way. Now, when I was small, the SS came looking for Jewish people who were hiding. They came to our house and they told me immediately to lower my pants to see if I was circumcised. Now, my mother had looked for 8 days for somebody to do the job when I was born. And didn't find anyone because the Jews were being persecuted like no other way. I was, because of that, those two families were spared. My father was spared, my mother was spared, and I refused to be circumcised afterwards. Because I understood that this saved my life. Okay?
Yes.
So I don't go according to what should be done. I go according to what I felt at the time that should be done.
And you're still like that, yes?
Yeah.
You're not religious.
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
So can we just back up a little bit? Where did your father come from? Where did you came from? Russian? You said it was Russian and your mother was Austrian?
Yes.
So can we have a little bit of that background also?
He came from What's it?
Saint Petersburg.
Uh-huh.
Yes. He was a member of the royal family in Russia. I remember when I was small, twice a year, all the Russians would meet in the house.
Really? In Belgium?
Yeah.
So those Russians, did they what? Escape the Bolshevik Revolution?
Yes, they were all white Russians.
White Russians, okay. Got that.
And they all, most of them, had titles.
I bet.
They were aristocrats.
Remember what your uncle said? That your father was one of the big ones?
Yeah.
So, what did your uncle say?
That my father was one of the big ones.
Oh, one of the big ones.
I never wanted to talk about that.
Right. So he was formerly a count and left the... Right? Correct? More than that. Okay, I don't know what's higher than that because I'm American.
He was a prince.
He was a prince.
And there was this... They were called Grand Dukes.
Oh, Grand Dukes. Okay.
But they were princes.
They were princes. Okay.
So
how did he flee? Did he know the Bolsheviks? Did he just flee to Europe?
He was a part of a family that was very much related to the army. So he joined the army when he was young.
You said that the whole family was dynasty.
Dynastic army family.
He was the last regiment to leave Russia.
He was the last regiment. How old was he?
He must have been 17.
So he was very young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
So he was the last army to leave for the Tsar under the Bolshevik Revolution.
To North Africa.
He went to
And the whole regiment escaped.
Wow.
And joined the Foreign Legion.
They joined the Foreign Legion, the French Foreign Legion.
Yeah.
Oh, this is amazing. I'll tell you why later.
And so he was granted permission to live in France, but he never get the citizenship.
Okay. All right. So he's a man without a country.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. That's it. And my mother, she just was a nurse.
Well, why was he in the hospital?
He was wounded.
In Africa? No.
I don't know.
Okay. Okay, so let's go back to Belgium when you were a young boy and you escaped the hand of the SS. So what happened to your family? Did they stay in Belgium for the end of the war?
Yes, they stayed there. We were quite rich. So we lacked nothing.
So was your father a businessman?
No.
You just had money.
My mother, he invented indelible lipstick.
Well, that'll sell. Right.
My mother sold that to Elena Rubinstein.
Okay.
Because she was Jewish.
Yes.
So she got along.
So she got money. Royalties. Wonderful. God provides.
And after the war, my father was afraid that the Russians would, the Bolsheviks would take over Belgium.
Really?
All of Europe.
All of Europe. Really, I never knew that.
And,
well, he was afraid. He was traumatized.
Yeah.
I made application.
Losing
your
whole family.
Yeah, of course.
Application to go to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not speak English.
Mm.
So he was refused.
Oh, on that grounds? Yes. On those grounds, they're really interesting.
So he went to Canada instead.
Mm-hmm. So he spoke French because he lived in France, right? Yes. He was part of the French Foreign Legion. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I arrived there when I was 10 years old.
10 years old? Okay. Yes. Oh, so I didn't realize that. So you were educated in Belgium and France, right? Montreal, Canada.
In Montreal. Where I was placed in an English-speaking school.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing a word of English.
Wow. Big jump.
Tough. Mm-hmm. Tough for me. Very tough.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned. Catholic,
huh? I learned.
It was a Catholic school?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was a Catholic school.
Uh-huh.
So, they were harassing me.
Were they?
Yes, because I requested permission not to attend the religion class.
Ah, because you were Jewish.
Because his father was Russian Orthodox.
Oh, his father was Russian Orthodox?
Yes.
How interesting. Because your father was, not because you were Jewish, but because
he didn't know he was Jewish.
He didn't know.
No. And his mother didn't say anything.
She
ever,
kept it quiet?
Never say anything. When his father was Russian Orthodox, so he didn't fit to the Catholics.
Of course
and
he was Russian Orthodox.
And then what did your mother say?
They said, become a Catholic.
Yeah. Become a
and
Catholic.
And he gave you in peace.
Yeah.
So I was baptized
into Roman Catholicism.
Really?
Oh, Years later, it took six people to hold me on the ground when they disappeared. They cast out.
Really? When you went through a deliverance?
Yeah.
From Roman Catholicism?
Yeah.
So much for the Catholics.
Yeah.
But the most beautiful thing is what happened to your mama.
Yeah? And where?
To his mother.
What happened to your mother?
Well, she was dying of cancer.
Mm.
And she jumped out of bed one day and she said, "He's the only one, the true God."
Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, our Jesus.
Bring me a Bible.
We got, my father got a Bible.
Uh-huh.
And she read it night and day.
Night and day. She spoke in tongues. She was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
The whole neighborhood.
The whole neighborhood?
Came to the house.
What year was this, please? Can you remember? 1950s?
In the early 50s.
Early 50s.
Yeah,
in the healing movement.
You came to, in 51, mm-hmm. or 52, you came to Montreal. And how long was it until she got sick? Approximately a few years or what?
5 years, maybe.
Yeah, so my question, 56,
it was the healing movement.
57,
I was.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was a great outpouring in Canada of the Holy Spirit then.
Because she died when you were what, 14 or 16?
Oh, yeah.
I became a Canadian citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Then.
Uh-huh.
I was naturalized.
Ah.
I lived for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was Canadian.
Yeah, you were Canadian.
Yeah.
And so you lived with your father after your mother went to be with the Lord?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Said that all the Russian dignitaries, the archbishop, they came all to the house and
listened
to his mother and said, "What a
woman,
God."
The Russian archbishop for the Orthodox?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
The Russian Orthodox.
So she witnessed
to
them.
She knew the Bible. She was
Wow. Wonderful. That is a wonderful.
As a woman, and I'm sure she prayed for Michelle.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And she died in my arms.
She died in your arms. Oh, how precious is that?
Yeah.
It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
And as she was dying, she said, oh, she said, she saw the Lord.
She saw the Lord. Hallelujah.
You know, and she died.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, she went to be with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. How exciting.
Yeah. That was her life.
That was that's a beautiful life.
Thought over and over with these events over the years.
Yeah.
And was always brought to tears.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
It's very beautiful.
But you didn't understand, you said, because you became an atheist.
He became an atheist?
Yeah.
So he didn't understand what his mother was. Well, there's a time for everything.
Or the devil took it away or whatever.
Yeah.
If there was a God, why would he take my mother?
Oh, right.
Yeah, and that's, I think he was angry at God.
Yeah.
And maybe he
still are. Uh-oh. Better forgive. Praise God. Well, so then, were you educated? Did you go to, did you go in the art fields, or what was your direction like during your teenage years?
Finished high school in Canada, but I got a scholarship, which I owned, but I wasn't, but it was me, you know, and to go to,
Nancy,
which was a university for politicians.
Really?
Lawyers.
Oh. Politician. Oh, political, governmental stuff.
Political science.
Did you like it?
No.
I can understand. Because you're more artistic.
So, after a few months there, I left.
Okay.
They were surprised. I was there, and I took off. I went to Greece. And hitchhiked all the way to Israel.
Really?
To meet my uncle.
Really? Yeah. So your uncle came here?
He was in Israel.
Wow.
And I went there. So I arrived there. And
you had an experience at the Mandelbaum Gate.
Yeah. Mandelbaum Gate was separation.
You could enter Israel only through Jordan.
Okay.
And there was a no man's land, and there was the Mandelbaum Gate, very famous, to come into Israel.
Okay.
So, Michelle, what's this?
So, happened? I cried all the way in no man's land.
Wow.
I didn't know why.
Spirit of God came over him. That this is your home.
The Spirit of God came over you and said, this is your home. Okay.
That's it.
How did your uncle get there? Did he leave?
He came in the
30s.
He
founded a kibbutz. Okay. He and his soul.
So. That was it.
So, but you didn't come to Israel then?
No.
Did you? No, you.
Just
a visit. Okay. That was in the 60s, probably. Yeah.
And I got a job on a ship in Iraq.
Really? Ah.
And we went to Persia.
You went to Iran. You went to Persia, okay?
Yeah. And then to Africa.
You went to Africa.
Ethiopia.
You went to Ethiopia. Yeah, interesting. Did you find it interesting, or was it just?
Yeah, I wanted to stay there.
You did.
Yeah.
You had family there, huh?
My girlfriend. Yeah.
Yeah, your girlfriend. Yeah. that qualifies. Yeah. my goodness.
So the people on the ship were very friendly to me. And they would look for me everywhere in the streets.
Really?
And then they found me. And they brought me back to the ship.
You were going AWOL?
Yeah. My passport was already with the authorities.
Okay.
The captain decided to leave me there.
Really? Okay.
And you went to where? To Kuramsha, not to Iran.
To Kuramsha, yeah. To Iran. Uh-huh. But this was on the way back from Iran.
Oh, okay.
Then they came to Israel with the ship.
Okay.
And there, Michelle, you have to tell the miracle that happened there.
What?
On the ship, when you went into, when you were locked into the freezer.
Oh, yeah. I was working and I got locked into the freezer.
The freezer was, the carcasses of the meat was hanging.
Yeah.
It was 120 degrees outside and I was freezing to death.
How did you get out?
I said, God help me. I knew I was an atheist. God help me.
Oh.
Because the door opened by itself.
By itself.
God helped you.
Yeah. Before he was shouting and praying and cursing.
Thank you, God. So then, did you start to serve God then, or was it late? Oh, I see. No? So then, where was your journey?
I met a girl there in Israel, and we began to travel all over Europe. Mm.
That was in the 70s, yes? Mm-hmm.
The end of the 60s.
Still. Okay, so you were still pretty young. Were you with the Navy still?
No.
Or you were out of the Navy? Okay, goodbye,
I
Navy.
I was 19 years old.
Okay. Wow.
So how
did you have income?
I didn't have any.
You didn't?
Income. I didn't have anything.
Okay.
My girlfriend had a little money.
Okay. So you went with her money. Okay. Because you got to eat. Right? So you're just kind of traveling around.
Yeah.
Bohemians or what?
You said you were in Athens for a while.
Yeah.
That was you were before. In what?
Before.
Athens. Oh,
before.
Athens.
Before.
Oh, that was before, earlier.
I was
And so we left, and I thought she died.
I'm sorry.
No, I thought maybe she found somebody else.
Oh, okay.
So a couple of years went by, and I got a phone call from a sister in California.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I read the diary that my sister wrote.
Mm.
And she mentioned you a lot of times in it. And so I want you to have the car. Volkswagen bus.
Oh.
Which she owned.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked. I didn't want the car. I didn't want anything. You know. I just realized she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Sad.
Then I went to Mexico.
Is that when you went to Mexico?
But before that you went to New York. You said you had a job with some Jewish men.
Yeah.
Sold, you know, what was it called? For banks, you know, when you're investing in something.
Oh, okay. Stock, yeah.
Yeah, stocks.
Securities, stocks. Yeah.
You were very good. You had a gold watch as a bonus.
Oh, good.
A license to sell stocks.
Oh, okay.
And
you were a stockbroker.
To Mexico because of that.
For them, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But once I got there, then
you stayed there.
Yeah.
You left this.
I started company. A model agency.
Uh-huh.
And I worked in films.
Uh-huh.
And in
advertising.
Right? No.
Antiques. He had antiques. And
films.
Firearms.
Dublin. Some Jaguar. Movie stars.
Oh, okay. So it was antiques, stamps, a modeling agency, doubling for movie stars, stockbroker.
And himself being an extra in films.
Yeah. An extra in films. So you're very talented. Diverse. Very diverse.
Then That's why I went to...
Were you in Mexico City?
I think not really.
Not really?
I was in the...
Guadalajara?
In Oaxaca.
Oaxaca.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I also was there.
Is that where you met it?
Well, in the state of Oaxaca we met, yeah. Uh-huh. Puerto Angel on the coast.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Were you on vacation or were you working?
Huh?
Were you on vacation?
I was on vacation.
You weren't working?
I was working in the States.
Ah, okay.
And any moment there was a vacation, I went down to
Oaxaca.
To Mexico, you know, Acapulco, Oaxaca,
okay.
Whatever.
Oh, okay.
I like the coast, you know, to be in the sun, and it's just, for me, that was heaven. I didn't have that before.
So how did you meet in Oaxaca?
Well, we met on the coast. In
Puerto on the Angel, beach?
On the beach.
You really?
I mean, it was the Puerto Angel was a coastal village, or there was almost nothing there. There was hippies there.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew this student in Oaxaca,
mm-hmm.
whom I met over the years, you know, mm-hmm. and he wrote to me and he wanted to marry me and all this.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I went there, and so he said, you know, you should go down to Puerto Angel. It is so beautiful. There's this beach called Zipolite,
mm-hmm.
where the hippies go, and my friend is always there, and he has this trailer, and you say you come from me, and he'll let you stay there, because he never stays in the trailer. Mm-hmm. He always sleeps outside on the beach, you know,
mm-hmm.
so you'll be fine there. So I went, naive as I am, everything, believed every word. And I went there, and I saw the trailer, but there was no friend of his anywhere.
Mm.
So I was sitting there, not knowing what to do with my suitcase. And then he comes there and talks with me. We were talking in French.
Mm-hmm.
And he was staying there, getting away from all the trouble in Mexico City and his work and the travel model agency. And he was doing commercials at the time. And so we talked, and then he knew I had no place to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he was staying in what is called a cabaña, you know, just mm-hmm. a room, you know, pretty open, and you know, but that's all there was.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm giving it to you, and I stay outside in a hammock.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't believe him. Mm-hmm. So I said,
and no, understandably.
You. And he got angry with me because I always... You know, I was suspicious, you know. I wasn't.
Uh-huh.
And so then you had to go back to Mexico City, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He flew with a local flight, you know. Uh-huh. And I was observed by the only family that lived there and kind of served drinks and coffee and whatever. And they had like 5 girls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Me, you know. And as it got dark, and I was sitting there still waiting for the guy to come, and nobody came, they came over and they said, you know, our parents said you can stay with us.
Oh.
And they had this one room, you know, it was maybe from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
There was maybe 4 beds and a hammock.
Mm-hmm.
And all their belongings were in little suitcases under the beds.
Mm.
That's all there was. There was no chair, no table, no nothing. Mm. Just to sleep. And so they gave me a bed.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them slept in a hammock, and the other one, two slept in a hammock.
Huh.
Anyway, and I slept there for a whole week with them. And they wouldn't accept any money.
Mm-hmm.
I gave them anyway, but still, I mean, such nice people.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he came back again from Mexico City.
You came back?
After a few days.
You were looking for him.
And this is, he was looking, and you said, you know, who does she think she is, you know, and turning me down. So he came back, and he almost drowned that day.
Oh.
He almost drowned. He was for hours in the sea and couldn't get back.
Oh,
and this whole
tight.
Beach was called Zipolite in Mayan, the mm-hmm. place of the dead.
Mm.
Because people get in a
riptide,
yeah. Mm. And there was also dangerous fish there.
Mm.
And so he was trying to get back, and he was swept outside, and then he came, and to climb up a cliff, you know, and there was sea urchins, he was bloody and thorny and everything. And after a few hours, he came out, you know, and
wow.
There was this only place there with this family. He sat down and had a beer or something, whatever they had, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came also, and in that state where he was so exhausted, he asked me questions, and I talked to him about my life, which is, he asked me such questions that I had to tell him that I've met God and that this is my life now, and so on. And he was an atheist, and he would never like to listen to anything about God. He said he did hitchhike many times, and if anybody talked to him about God, he would just say, "Let me out, Peter, please, here, I'm arrived," you know. He didn't want to listen to anything.
Huh.
And so it was just by God meant like this. First of all, I was a woman, you know, and mm-hmm. I talked to him about God, and so he listened. And I left him my Bible that I had with me.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
then what happened?
And that was around New Year's, you know.
It was
Christmas and New Year vacation.
It was.
And so I went back to the States.
Yeah.
And on the 1st of June,
mm-hmm.
he came to visit me in Illinois.
He did.
He came, yeah, and he wrote me poems in the meantime, you know.
Romantic.
Mm-hmm. Always been romantic. And then he came to visit me, and I had this big house. My house, my employer mm-hmm. let me live in a nice big house that belonged to him, you know,
mm-hmm.
with many rooms and a huge living room with a chimney, and mm-hmm. it was really nice. And so he stayed with me, and he wanted to just, you know, that I would be his girlfriend. I said, no, I can't do that, you know. I mean, I'm living with God, and that's not
appropriate. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I introduced my pastor
uh-huh.
to him.
Uh-huh.
He was from the Campus Crusade.
Really?
A very sweet guy, yeah.
Wow.
Ron. And he took very special interest in me. I don't know why. You know,
yeah.
He invited me almost every weekend to his family for a meal. And, yeah, very nice. Anyway, and he became friends immediately with him. He was so curious whom I had attracted, you know.
Yeah.
And so then he led him to the Lord. And he said, you know, don't you love her enough to marry her?
Yeah.
And that spoke to you.
Yeah.
50 years?
He was, don't you love her enough to marry her?
Yeah.
And so he wasn't the marrying type.
Right.
And still, maybe he isn't.
Yeah. He's never been married, but you've been together 50 years. It is amazing. It's an amazing, wonderful story. Mm-hmm. So how did you two...
And so he married us then.
Yeah.
Him and his wife and a very good friend who also came to the Lord afterwards.
But I was never a Christian.
Well, he was baptized.
Yeah.
Because this way. Campus Crusade is Baptist. You know?
Right, exactly.
So he was baptized, and but he said he wasn't really inside, he wasn't surrendered to God.
Born again.
Okay, mm-hmm. And then we stayed 1 year in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and 2 months, and then we went to Spain,
mm-hmm.
and there we met this Pentecostal charismatic community in Torremolinos.
Mm-hmm.
We were friends with the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got so sick.
He
was sick to death, yeah.
Sick to die.
Like, he had this blood poisoning, whatever. And it was coming to his brain already.
Oh, no.
That the pastor came to visit once, and we had this cat also.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he sat on your bed and would tell the story.
And the whole room was like a nightclub full of smoke.
Yeah, uh-huh. Because he smoked still, and he wanted to deaden his pain, but it didn't work.
You smoke? I said, no.
And then
he was talking to about religious things.
He said he's going to confront this witch now, you know, and he's going to really give it to her or whatever.
Which witch?
He talked about a witch that he's going to confront.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then,
yeah.
Underneath the cover, something moved.
Where my feet were.
It was a cat.
The cat!
And he got so scared.
It's a witch!
He's going to confront the witch.
How funny.
He was scared about a cat. Anyway.
Still a cat.
Anyway, the day after, or 2 days afterwards, you know, he was really, didn't sleep. He was kicking the walls from the pain. He didn't know what to do anymore. And now we didn't have not even a painkiller. We had nothing. We were just there, arrived there, you know, from overseas. We didn't know anybody, really, except this community. But it never entered my mind that we should go to a pharmacy or to a hospital. We didn't have much money either, you know, obviously. And so then you had this experience with God. You know?
Tell me about your experience with God. Yes, because this is important, yes.
Yes, I said, Mr. Jesus.
Mr. Jesus, okay.
If you exist, make yourself known to me. And I felt inside a warmth which I cannot describe. It's not human.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And my hands were in the air and I spoke in tongues.
Wow! Okay.
I got a package.
Yeah, wow.
All night spoke in tongues.
Really? Okay.
And in the morning I said, the devil came and visited.
Yeah, because he didn't understand what he was speaking in tongues, and I didn't yet speak in tongues.
And so,
I got it a little later.
Oh, okay.
And so, two people came to me, different people.
The pastor, an Englishman, Peter, the pastor, yeah?
Yeah, saying the same thing.
Yeah. What did they say?
That it wasn't the devil who came to see you.
It was God.
It was God. And they didn't know anything.
They didn't know anything. Maybe they were praying. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
Yeah. And I calmed down with that.
Wow. Well, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
And then, so how did that change your life? Did it change your life? Did you feel transformed? Did you live differently and think differently? What?
I was sitting in a bar. The fellow next to me said, what are you doing? I said, nothing. I just came to God.
You told him that?
Okay. So he didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to put my thoughts straight.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm looking after a house. I asked him what he was doing. He told me he was looking after a house for someone. But the owners are coming back. But he had another house. And he asked me if I was willing to stay in there and look after it. For
nice.
I had no rent to pay him.
Wow. Good.
So we stayed for half a year in this
beautiful mansion.
House on the beach with a chimney, with an indoor swimming
pool. What a blessing.
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How wonderful is that?
And one day I jumped out of the window onto the sand. It must have been 3 or 4 feet.
Uh-huh.
The window on the sand. Went into the sea and I baptized myself. Years later, we were baptized properly.
Okay.
Yeah, because from the Baptist, you weren't really saved at the time.
No.
Baptist, yeah. Anyway, this was our story.
Yeah. So the next phase is, how did you get to Israel?
Well, we had to leave Spain.
Yeah.
To go to Canada.
Because your visa or what?
No. I mean, Michelle had this notion that since he's only naturalized, he has to come and live for 1 year out of 10 in Canada, otherwise he will lose his citizenship.
Okay.
And so we went there. He didn't like it at all. He was kicking again the stone, whatever. Yeah. But then he said, you know, we have to go. So we went. And again, there was a miracle happened, because on the way, we went to where I was working in Illinois. You know, it was like we went up to Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked the city, London, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a middle-sized, very nice city. And so we went to Urbana, Champagne where we lived, where we were married, and we visited the pastor and his congregation, mm-hmm. and people remembered me, of course, and got to know Michelle. Yeah, there were some of them were at the wedding also, and there we got a word of prophecy, because the Baptists had split already. There was one part that was already charismatic, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and they could prophesy and speak in tongues, and the others didn't, and the pastor didn't yet. But anyway, so they prophesied them, you know.
Hostile, the pastor.
He became a little more hostile, because he saw that we were charismatic, and he was not there yet. Anyway. Mm-hmm. But the prophecy, the prophetic word was twofold. It was, first of all, he said, you know, you are in the eye of the hurricane.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He said, the hurricane may be around you, but, you know, you're in the eye of the hurricane. You know, nothing happens there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the second thing was, I'm preparing a place for you in Canada. And when you come, it will be ready.
Hmm. Okay.
And so it was. We went there, didn't know anybody.
Wow.
And we met, I don't know, did we meet him in the street or somewhere, this guy who was a lawyer. And Michelle had an issue also that he wanted to straighten out. He said he had something with the court and also with his name, because his father's name was really Miliantsevich.
Mm-hmm.
And so he adopted the word, the name Mili.
Oh, is that where? Okay.
Yeah,
so Miliantsevich.
Yeah, Miliantsevich was his father's name, but he never really liked it.
Right, so you shortened
so
it, yes.
He adopted Mili, and Mili was really his father's
company.
Short name of his inventions.
Okay,
company.
Okay.
He had inventions under the name of Mili.
Okay, so he was an inventor, yeah.
Okay. Among other things. Anyway, so he was also in cancer research. Canada, he was mainly in cancer research until he was pensioned. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so and so we went there and we met this guy and he said, well, I'm an attorney or so whatever. And he said, well, maybe you can help me. I need to straighten this out, you know, and with the court and with my name and so. Oh, yeah, of course I can. I said, where are you staying? He said, well, we don't have a place. Come. He can stay with us. So he had this basement,
wow.
apartment, I mean, a bedroom, big bedroom. Mm-hmm. They were so nice. He said, here, until you get settled. And after 3 days, we were looking around a little bit. After 3 days, we found this incredible place. It was a whole house.
Oh,
it
wow.
was very accessible. It was like $250 or something. It had a big, big garden. It had a pond
mm-hmm.
and a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not all for us. There was another party living here. Oh, there's three parties all in the whole house. It was a huge house, but surrounded with gardens and orchard and everything. And the couple were from East Germany. So I could talk German with them. Mm-hmm. And anyway, they loved us right away. Mm-hmm. And so we moved, and they had just renovated this part where we're going to live.
Hmm.
So the Lord was right. He said, I'm just preparing a place for you. When you come, it will be finished.
Wow.
And that's what it was. It was
all
painted. It was all renovated. It was all, you know, and so we moved in there. And these people, and we didn't have much income, you know. Very little.
Got there.
Yeah, exactly. And so after three months, you know, we were a little bit late in paying the rent. And I had to go to the man, and he was so kind. He said, well, he said, you know, I can just imagine. He said, you know, I watched your husband, and he's really good with the plants and everything. Let him cut the grass and tend to all the things, and you don't have to pay rent. So we stayed a whole year without paying.
Wow. Yeah. You're exchanging labor. Praise God. Back to the garden.
Oh, yeah. And then another, and we did only have 1 year because the winter was so cold.
It was so cold.
It was minus 30 degrees.
Ooh.
I mean, honestly. But you know, there was this lady that lived in San Francisco that I got to know when I was working in the States, because I was working for a student travel office.
Mm-hmm.
And she made herself younger. I don't know how she did that. She had had her papers that she was a student. Mm-hmm. She looked okay, but she was much older. Anyway, so we got to know her, and she was very particular. And she visited us in, she stayed in touch with me, and she visited us in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And she overstayed her welcome. I thought she would come for a week, you know.
Yeah.
And she came for 5 weeks.
Whoops.
So in a way we said, well, never again, you know. And then she contacted us there in London, Ontario. Can I come and visit you? And we really didn't want her to come. Mm-hmm. But then we said, you know, maybe this time she'll accept the Lord. You know, we'll witness to her. And let her come. So we said, okay, you can come. And just a month before that, or what, you got a scripture from Habakkuk, was it, no? Where it says that, by the 17th of the 9th month or something like this, I will bless you. I will look it up. It was exactly, okay. So she comes for the month of September. She came end of August, and she stayed until the 17th of August, of September. Mm. And before she left, she said, you know, my house is really a mess, and the garden is so bad that people throw their garbage on my garden.
Mm.
Would you like to come and Michelle fix up the garden, and I'll pay you the flight?
Wow.
So we came there, and Michelle, and it was exactly that date that Michelle had from Habakkuk, that the Lord is blessing us on that day, because she invited us to come.
Wow.
And that was our way to Israel.
So she was in Israel?
No, she was in San Francisco.
But she
invited us to San Francisco, and on the way home, we didn't come back anymore to London, Ontario. We went all the way to to London, England.
Wow.
And from there we got a flight to Austria, and from Austria to Israel. It was our change to go to Israel. Well, we said, what are we going to do now? And I said, I so much would like to see Israel. You know, let's go there and look around. So we came just with a suitcase.
Wow.
And his jeans. And little did we know that he will find out he's Jewish.
Yeah.
And then we said, well, okay, Lord, this was a setup from you.
So that must have been in the 80s.
He was 79.
79.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so we arrived in December 79. On the 3rd of December 79.
Uh-huh.
That was our...
So how did you find out?
And then
he was Jewish.
In the spring, we visited his uncle on Kibbutz Yifat, where he...
Oh, okay.
And he and so he talked to his uncle, and he said, Uncle Ferry, what
did Uncle Ferry? Kibbutz Yifat is Fats?
Yifat, it's in Yifat. The Jezreel Valley.
Okay, Yifat, oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. And this Shraga knew it, because we said Shraga, you know, his uncle, Ferdinand Horniak, changed his name also to Shraga Golan.
Really?
You know,
the man last night.
I witnessed to him.
Yes, you did. Okay.
And I told him that this name Shraga is very familiar, because his uncle called himself Shraga, and then he told me that it means light.
Wow.
In whatever language, I forgot.
So what did Uncle say?
Okay, so what did your uncle say? You said Uncle Ferdy, why did you
marry a Jewish woman?
And why do you live here?
Why do you live here?
And
he looked at me.
As if he was fallen from the moon.
Because I'm Jewish. Your mother's Jewish. You're Jewish.
Hello.
I
if your mother's Jewish, you're Jewish. Oh, wow. What a revelation.
I asked the Lord when I was saved, I would like to marry a Jew. You know? And I said, Lord, you are
there you go.
It was 7 years into our marriage.
Wow. Wow,
yeah.
So they gave you paper. I mean, it was easy, right? It was not difficult.
And so we knew he was Jewish, and we said, Lord, there was a setup of you. Now we are here, and we want to serve you, you know? I mean, you probably want us here. And so we made Aliyah from Jerusalem.
Wow, okay, great. And so here you are.
And all we had was was the uncle, but he didn't help us much.
Mm-hmm.
They invited him to the Misrat Hapnim, to the Ministry of Interior,
mm-hmm.
and interrogated him and said, you know, do you know if your sister has ever, they know she was Jewish because we brought her her birth certificate
okay.
from Vienna.
Okay.
But then they wanted to talk with the uncle, and he said, did you ever convert to Christianity?
They asked him.
Because they had a feeling we are Christians. Oh, because okay. We filled out to the Christian, stupid enough. Mm-hmm. And they said, there's no such thing. Or you're Jewish, or you're Christian.
Yeah.
And so anyway, they asked him if his sister ever converted. He said, well, I don't know. I hadn't seen her for many years. So I don't know. So they didn't help at all. So for 6 months, this man was going there every week and being a real witness to the usher, because he was a very man, like he was a bouncer,
uh-huh.
and didn't say much. But then after 6 months, they told Michelle, you know, we cannot give you a citizenship. You have to leave the country. And Michelle said, what did you say?
Good. I can go to Hawaii.
Hawaii, which I always wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. Goodbye. Goodbye.
See ya.
And then Usher ran after you, and said, you can appeal. And so he gave him a piece of, you know, out of a thing, you know, write something to the Ministry of Religious Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote what?
That I'm a Jew by the bloodline.
Yeah. He remembered what Paul said, I'm a Roman citizen, you know, you have no right to beat me.
That's right.
And so he said, you know, wait a minute, I'm a Jew by the bloodline. I want in writing why I cannot stay here. And
there
in
you
2 weeks, they called us and said, Mr. Milley, your papers are ready.
Wow.
And so he came in and the usher came beaming because he was impressed by him. He never said a harsh word or never got angry or impatient. He just came there asking if something had happened to his papers. No. Okay. So he came in. Mr. Milley is here for his papers. He came in with him.
He kicked the door open.
How wonderful is that? That's God.
Yeah. And the lady there said, we really don't want to give you this, but we feel we have to.
See?
Yeah. And we know because the Lord promised us, I will open a door that no one can shut.
That's right. Because this is his land. Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Amazing, yeah? Oh, yeah, we have lived quite a few miracles, haven't we, Michelle? Yeah. Or at least the real favor of God.
It's the favor of God. Yeah. Well, miracles are the favor of God,
favor of God.
So 40 years now, huh? Very
40,
good.
40 some years. We came in 79 in December, so this December it's going to be
44. If you came in 79.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, now it's 43 or something.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. Okay.